Friends, we're in Ephesians, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament. We're still in chapter 6. Walking together and living together in this invitation to stand in the grace and the strength of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly just as I should. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we confess that we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. So quick question. Do we have any pilots here? Do we have any pilots, any trained pilots? Well, I can say anything. That's right, we do, right here on the front. Well, you can test me on this, make sure I'm saying this right. So I've read that one of the most dangerous things in aviation, especially small craft aviation, is spatial disorientation. A pilot can fly into heavy cloud cover and lose sight of the horizon, and suddenly the body, your internal sense of direction can begin to lie to you. The pilot feels like they're flying level, but the instruments tell you otherwise. Investigators have found that sometimes pilots will continue to fly in such circumstances in full cloud cover, trusting their instincts, trusting their feelings, instead of trusting the numbers on the instruments. And often what happens is the pilot becomes disoriented and they fly not up, but down, straight into the ground. This morning, we want to talk a little bit about truth. We want to talk about truth. And I'm going to say this at the beginning. Everything you think and everything you feel, those things are real. They're real thoughts. They're real emotions. They're real feelings. But I want to tell you this. Your feelings are not always true. Your feelings are not always true. When pilots trust their feelings instead of the actual instruments on the plane, disaster can result. The truth, friends, it is the truth that keeps you, authentic truth. Truth is what keeps you from flying blind in your life. Flying blind in your life. The truth keeps us from flying blind. And what Paul is getting at in these words of encouragement to the church of the Ephesians and to our church and to you to stand, one of the ways that we stand is to stand in the truth. Someone said it, truth is the first casualty of war. Paul acknowledges that we are in a battle for truth and for wholeness and for life in Christ. And we know this better than ever in this day. We live in a battle for the truth. So in Ephesians 6, 14, when Paul says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving you a Sunday school lesson about the ancient Roman armor, right? Because he goes through all of these descriptions. But one of the essential things you need to know is that the belt was one of the foundational parts of the Roman armor. The Roman soldier would wear a long kind of flowing robe or tunic, and then that belt would be secured around his waist, and all the drapes and all the folds of that tunic would be tucked in place and held by that belt so that he had the ability to run or to move. The belt was also the place where weapons could be anchored. It held everything together. You couldn't do anything else in a military sense. You couldn't do anything else in a preparedness sense unless that belt were secure in place. So I think what Paul would want us to know and what I want you to know is that truth is not an add-on, it's not an optional part of your life that you can settle at some point in the future. Truth is something foundational. Truth is something foundational, and it has to be secure. Truth has to be secure for your whole life to stay together, to stay on course. And you know this, we live in a world, and I'm all for people's witness, I'm all for people sharing their experiences, but we live in a world where it's common to say, well, according to my truth, this truth is my truth, your truth may be your truth, but here's the problem, when truth becomes abstract like that and subjective like that, stability becomes impossible, and indeed flying on course becomes impossible. Just because you believe something, just because you believe it sincerely, just because you believe it firmly, or just because you believed it for a long time, doesn't make it true. If truth is flexible, your life will always be unstable. And now here's the thing. Most of us aren't out here like believing lies that are apparently lies to us, because we wouldn't believe them, right? If it was clear that it was a lie, if it was obvious, we wouldn't believe it. We are tempted to believe the lies that are so close to the truth. We're tempted to believe the lies that are almost true. Like this. Here's one of the things we love to believe. I can live by my own truth, right? We talked about that a little bit. I can live by my own truth. We hear it. It sounds so empowering, right? It puts the locus of control and decision-making right where you want it, in your hand, in your mind. But here's the thing. Your truth is not strong enough to hold your life, because your truth, quote unquote, your truth is going to change with your mood. It's going to change with your circumstance. It's going to bend when pressure comes. And when truth shifts, life starts to go off course. And relationships will strain and decisions will become reactive. And you won't stand. That's what Paul tells us. Stand. You'll waver. You'll wobble. Truth is not something you create for yourself. Truth is a person. It's someone you come to live under. Jesus didn't say, discover your truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. So you don't stand on your truth. You stand under Christ's truth. We live this lie. My truth. I live by my truth. We live by another lie. If I take care of myself first, then everything else will work out. We've been discipled by a culture that says, take care of yourself first, protect your own peace, put yourself first, and it feels right until you realize that everything in your life is orbiting you. Everything in your life is orbiting you, because when you become the center of your life, once again, everything becomes unstable. You are not strong enough. You are not strong enough to hold the weight of being the center. If you are the center of your life, then your relationships become transactional. It's only what you can get out of or what you can get from another person. Love becomes conditional. If you do this, then I will do that. And it's easy to start keeping score. You were never designed to be the center of your life. And so when you try to hold everything together with yourself at the center, you don't become stronger, you just become exhausted. Because you're literally spinning all the saucers. Again, Jesus doesn't say, center yourself. He says, deny yourself and follow me. A self-centered life can never stay on course. A self-centered life can never stay on course. So line number two, I have to take care of me. Line number three, you've heard this. I am enough. I should be enough. You might not say it out loud in that same way, but you live under it. I should be able to handle this. I've had enough experience. I should be strong enough to do this on my own. Do you remember that story from literature, ancient Greek mythology, the story of Sisyphus? He was the king of Corinth. And in the afterlife, Sisyphus was punished because of his pride. Sisyphus was punished. He would have to get up every morning and roll a giant rock uphill. And he would almost get it there, and it would be the end of the day. He'd take his hand off, and it would roll back to the bottom. And so every day was a day of relentless pressure and repetitive action. And that's what we feel like if we believe this lie, I should be enough. You end up just pushing harder with life. You try to hold it together and you pretend. You pretend that you're fine. But here's the truth. You are not enough. Can we say that? I am not enough. I am not enough to hold my life together. You are not enough to hold your life together. And that's not bad news. That's not bad news. That is the moment when you can finally stop pretending and start depending. Depending on God and depending on other people. I tell you, as I'm working through this week, I found myself asking myself, like, what lies do you still believe? What lies do you, and of these that I'm laying out this morning, I think this is the one that's the biggest temptation for me. Because I can find myself so motivated by duty, by obligation, that if somebody invites me to pick up a burden, I will gladly pick it up. And I'll forget to take that burden to the Lord, and I'll just walk with it for the Lord. Because that sounds great, right? Somebody will pat me on the back for that. And so I have to ask that question again and again. Am I trying to do this for God? Or am I trying to do things without God because I think I'm enough? Maybe you struggle with that same lie as well. And so the invitation is always to recognize the thing that you carry. Recognize, even if it's a good thing, it can be your work, it can be a ministry, it can be a relationship. A vital relationship, but if you are holding that thing and you find that you are holding it apart from God, then you're believing the lie that you can do it without Him. So it's time, not perhaps to lay it down and walk away completely, but to recognize that His hand is holding more of that burden than yours is. And that you can walk hand in hand with Him and He'll carry that with you. Because your life, my life, your life is not held together by your strength. Your life is held together by God's strength. And only when we recognize that will we defeat this lie. Colossians 1:17, there's so many similar themes in Ephesians and Colossians in Paul's letters. Paul says, in Him, not in you all things hold together, but in Him all things hold together. And here's the truth, like our disoriented pilot at the very beginning. When you try to be enough, you go off course. When you try to be enough, you go off course. But when you aim for eternity, you really can stand firm, knowing that Christ He is enough. Line number four, here's another one. God just wants me to be happy. Wait a minute, Pastor. Isn't that okay? Isn't it okay to be happy? It's okay to be happy unless that's your only goal. That's the lie. God just wants me to be happy. This one is so subtle. But if we hold it too long, it'll crack. It'll create a crack in our relationship with God and in our relationship with other people, and it can derail every meaningful goal that you might want to have in your life. God just wants me to be happy. And so that looks a lot of different ways. If something feels hard, if something feels difficult or makes me uncomfortable, if we believe the lie that God wants me to be happy, that means we can back away from that. It's not our thing. If something requires sacrifice, if something requires us pressing forward through personal pain and discomfort, we can, oh, that's not from God. Surely He wants blessing for me. And we misunderstand blessing. And we misunderstand God. We assume that must not be God. Because if your goal is happiness only, hear this, friends, if your goal is happiness only, you will justify almost anything to get there. If your goal is happiness only, you will justify almost anything. You'll justify distance in relationships, maybe in family, maybe in marriage. You'll justify distance in your relationships because you don't want to bring up a disagreement. Why? Because that threatens your happiness, right? It threatens your immediate peace. Instead of stirring things up a little bit so that you can find something settled, an authentic peace on the far side of disagreement, you settle for happiness. You'll justify habits. If your goal is happiness, you'll justify habits that have a short-term payoff but leave you hollowed out and empty in the long run. Friends, I have to tell you this. Though God is committed to showing mercy to you, He is not committed ultimately to your comfort. God is not committed to your comfort. He is committed to your transformation after the image of Christ. If you chase happiness and happiness first, you will drift off course. But if you chase holiness, if you chase wholeness, if you chase truth, you will be equipped to stand and to stand firmly. Because here's what happens. When we start believing lies like this, we don't start believing the lie and then, boom, immediately the plane crashes into the hillside. When you start believing lies like this, your life doesn't crash overnight. But it does slowly get off course. And you can become disoriented and you trust yourself or you trust something else instead of trusting the truth, and you don't even realize it when you've lost sight of the true horizon. That's why Paul says, put on the belt of truth, because the truth doesn't just inform your life. You know, think again of our pilot. He's not looking at those dials and those instruments just to know some numbers. He wants to make decisions based on those numbers. He wants to read that dial and adjust course accordingly. Paul doesn't want us to know the truth just so we have the best information. We want the truth so that we can make the decisions that are necessary to keep our life on course. So I'll ask you this question today. Where are you off course? Where are you off course? Some of you may know. You know you're disoriented and you're kind of flying in the clouds. Some of you just may recognize you're off a degree or two. But whether the course is great or little, where are you off course? Paul says if the belt is not buckled, then everything else is loose. Everything can shift. You can't run, you can't access your weapons, your tools, if you're off course and disoriented, if you're trusting feelings instead of the truth. It's time to get reoriented. It's time to get reoriented. This may be the best, like, end of May, like middle of May, end of May sermon before the long summer starts. This may be the moment. It's time to get reoriented. Where are you believing something that feels right, but just isn't true, and you know objectively it's not true? Where are you allowing your emotions to speak more loudly, louder to you than God's Word is speaking to you? Where are you building identity on performance or on external circumstances instead of building identity as a child of Christ? When we're flying blind, it can look a lot of different ways. It can manifest itself in our ambition. We press so hard because we know if I succeed, then I'll matter to myself and I'll matter in the world. It can manifest itself as shame, and we just look in the mirror and say, well, this is all I am, this is all I can do. It manifests itself in anxiety. I have to control this and this and this, or else everything will fall apart. We have to recognize this. When we lose sight of the horizon, we need another reference point, an external reference point. We need the truth. Friends, that's where Paul points us again, not to truth philosophically, but Paul points us to the truth that is Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus didn't say, I come to teach the truth, although he did teach truth. He comes and says, I am the truth. Truth is not just information. Truth is relationship with Jesus and life alignment following Jesus. Truth is not simply information. Truth is relationship with Jesus and life alignment in Jesus. This is tied to the whole letter of Ephesians. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, he gives us the truth about our identity. Ephesians 1, 11, in him we were chosen. We belong to him completely. Ephesians 2, Paul tells us the truth about grace. Ephesians 2, 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Or you can't even unboast, right? That you don't deserve this and kind of give the mealy mouth kind of thing. You can't say, I never can come to Christ. You can't say, I've done it myself. We boast only in the Lord. Ephesians 4, Paul gives us the truth about living life in community. 4:15, Paul says, instead, we are speaking the truth in love, and we will grow together to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, will grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, you don't fight lies with better effort. You fight lies with deeper truth. With truth more really grasped and more really applied in our life. After talking about the belt of truth, Paul moves quickly to the breastplate of righteousness. And here's the insight there that's important, is that if truth is compromised, then whole living and holy living, it begins to collapse. Righteousness collapses. And we believe that God has given us the righteousness of Christ, but we believe that he is also working out that righteousness. He's making it real. He's making our hearts to be like the heart of Christ. He's making our minds to be like the mind of Christ. So if we live in truth, then our lives are in a way protected as we align our lives with the character and the goodness of Christ. But if we believe, oh, I deserve this, I should do this to be happy, then there's nothing you won't do in order to get that. But if instead you cling to the truth, I'm already loved, I already live at peace with Christ, then you don't have to grasp for something else. You can cling to the truth, and that'll lead you to cling to Jesus. So how do we really do this? Right? When Paul says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, how do you buckle the belt? How do you buckle the belt? I think the first thing you can do is to name the lie. Name the lie. Think back through some of those lies we just talked about. I am enough. I have to be happy. I have to be in control. Think about the name the lie. What am I believing that isn't really true? Name the lie and then replace it by Scripture. Replace it by Scripture. Not a vague truth, but a specific truth. And then repeat that truth. Repeat that truth until it has reshaped you. Again, as Paul says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, the thinking again and again about the truth of Scripture so that it can become not just something that echoes in your brain, but that echoes in your head and in your mouth and in your heart. If you follow the wake-up call daily devotionals, one of J.D. Walt's favorite words of mine is to rememberize. Not just to remember, not just to memorize, but to rememberize, to take a whole verse of Scripture and repeat it, not just so it's an abstract phrase that comes out, but so that it is really soaked down and just salted and watered your entire life. Because friends, if we're gonna live in truth, then the voice of God, the voice of Christ, has to echo in our hearts louder than the voices of these lies. The voice of God has to echo louder than the voice that lies to us. So we want to tighten this belt up, don't we? We want to bring it in a notch. We want to make sure it's secure so that we can move and so that we can stand and so that we can fight and so that we can live. Because we know this, right? Truth keeps us from flying blind. So for those of you who are already followers of Christ, here's how we want to apply this. Some of you, you find yourself exhausted at this season of life, not because life is so hard, but because you're basing part of your fight in a lie. You're basing part of your fight in a lie. Instead of trusting in Christ, you're trusting in something else or someone else. So there's the challenge for you to identify one lie and replace it. Identify a lie and replace it with God's truth this week. And maybe for others who are here who haven't yet made a decision to trust in Christ as Savior and as Lord, I think for you, you have to, the invitation is this, to recognize that the truth is not simply a concept. It's not another fact that you have to believe, but it's about fixing your life on a person, fixing your life on Jesus. And coming to a place where you trust all of life, you surrender all of life as you understand it. Surrender all of life to Him. As our worship team comes forward, let's pray together. Let's ask God to begin helping us see where we may be off course in our lives. Our prayer team will be here. I sense that there may be somebody who recognizes that there's a place. So either as the final song is being sung or even after the song, find me or one of our prayer team, and we'd love to pray with you. I even anoint you with oil that the Spirit of God would give you exceptional strength and clarity to identify the lies that have deceived you and help rebuild your life on truth. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your invitation to stand and to stand firm. And we know, Father, you don't call us to anything. You don't promise anything without offering us what we need to do it. And so I'm thankful, Father, that you've gifted us through the life of your Son, Jesus. You've gifted us by the power of your Spirit today. Give us courage, Father, to see where we're wandering off course. And where you might either gently or perhaps firmly be bringing us back into the truth so that we could stand and stand firm to the end. Father, we give you the thanks for the ways that you have kept us on course in the past and delivered us from lies. Father, continue to do that renewing work in us.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.